العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
I wanted to talk about one of the concepts that most people recognize as a big part of tasawwuf. It's a big subject, but I just wanted to look at one angle of it. Well, you've probably heard the term tawassul, which can be literally translated as arrival, or you could say reunion, and it refers to our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then, of course, the Sufis are known to have this concept of tawassul through other great awliya as well, because the whole point in tasawwuf is to try to get a shortcut to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and there's, it comes from wisdom to actually seek out a very strong shortcut. Not only a shortcut, but since we all have limited time on this planet, but a very strong case for ourselves that we will have that opportunity. And in our tariqah, Sheikh Abul Hassan al-Shazili, rahimahullah, he says that all of his murid in this Shabili tariqah, at least upon their deathbed, should realize that, inshallah ta'ala. So, but before we get started, I just wanted to say that hopefully the connection will be good. I'm calling from my cell phone. I don't know if it's in the papers or not, but we lost power again here in New York. I don't know how vast it is, but I think it's pretty, just like the summertime. We were hoping at least for winter to start before this, things like this happened, but we were inundated with this snow. And speaking of this topic of tawassul, you know, we had to this morning do all these kinds of activities that would be primitive, but start up a fire because, as you know, we lost power in the summer. There was a great bounty that we didn't need heat. It was, for the most part, pretty easy to ride through that because it was a few days. And again, they're predicting we won't have power for a few days. And you might hear, actually, this time we were able to get a generator in the background, but this just happened now in the morning. It was pretty cold, so we had started a fire. And it's really interesting when you are connected to the earth with these basic, primitive, what we would call primitive things, but starting up a fire. SubhanAllah, the first thing we notice is that, ya Latif, this is not something we want to have any portion of, either in this world or in the hereafter, in terms of getting near a fire. Those of you in the medical field know that this is the worst type of pain to have. To see a burn victim, that is probably the worst kind of pain there is. Even and it's actually the second degree burns that are painful. The third degree, because the nerves are eradicated, they don't feel those, but it's the second degree burns that are unbearable. So just looking at the fire, I mean, all the metaphors and imageries come up, but it's really something you don't want to have. I mean, even little things that in our time we don't have this concept of, but as soon as we reconnect to the earth, these kinds of metaphors that people live with, they know what a fire can do. Ask any fireman when they go put the fires out. I mean, how dangerous it is, and this is why nuclear power, obviously, is so dangerous. The radiation burn is a fire. And then you get an idea of why you need someone to stoke the fire as you see the wood burning. I mean, these are all simple things that people knew in the past, but we're so disconnected that, and this is why I'm sharing with you this imagery comes up, and it's even hard to describe. You can't really describe it until you are next to it. Getting too close, you'll feel the intensity. It was just nice enough if you sit. And the kids were saying, no wonder one of the few programs they have seen is Little House on the Prairie. That is one program we allowed them to watch. And so they were saying that they understand now how come they have to sit just the right distance away from the fire and how everyone gathers in one room, because obviously they would only have one room. Plus, the wealthy people would have, in Victorian homes, for instance, fireplaces in every room. But anyway, they're too close, and instantly feel the heat. And as the wood burns, someone has to keep soaking it, otherwise it could rally off and come out of the fireplace. So there's quite a bit of danger involved in all of that. But anyway, in terms of our subject matter, so we want to arrive. The whole point of this journey is to arrive, first of all, to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he is our route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is getting up there? Our teachers. And we have one of the greatest teachers living, Hafidhullah, that we are so blessed to have as our teacher, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Muhammad Yaqubi. But it's interesting, when you translate this word, so it means, it can also mean to join, like when you study grammar, we'll say, asma'l-mawsulat, that's where this word is coming from, mawsul, those words like alladhi, allati, or alla'i, you'll see it in the Qur'an al-Kareem often, it joins together, right, it joins the mawsul with the silat, the part that it's describing, these pronouns. So they refer back to each other. So part of this, what we want to look at is, it's not just the arrival, these junctures, because it can also be translated to mean a juncture. And it's very interesting, because when Sheikh Muhammad Hafidhullah, when he first started coming to America, I had this blessed opportunities, many of them before lecture and after lecture. He was very keen on getting feedback from my husband and myself on if he used the appropriate words, because he was still uncomfortable with his English, having just learned it just a couple of years before. And so every now and then I would give him some better words he could have used after each lecture, which is what he wanted. And he always appreciated that. So, and subhanAllah, as you can imagine, when you see his English out, it's subhanAllah, superb, mashallah. But one time, I thought I happened to, well, we were driving on a highway, and, the letters JCT came up. And I said, do you know what that means, Sheikh Muhammad? And he said junction. And I said, yeah, that's right. MashaAllah. So, subhanAllah, tawassul or wasila in and out in any language, mashaAllah. So the joining of two. So we don't want to just focus on the goal, in other words. Just because we're talking about tawassul meaning arrival, that doesn't mean we have this apprehension our whole life and we have to keep chipping away at it. Imagine ourselves to be this mountain climber, and there's no fun except when we arrive. That's not what we're talking about at all. That's the angle I wanted to focus on. It's all these little junctions or junctures in between also that were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may not be recognizing. Those are all incredible points of the whole journey that push us along and give us great epiphanies and ilhan inspirations along the way. And they can be through other people. Many times they are through other people. But most often through our teachers, as we can expect. For instance, take any of the ulama, Imam Bukhari, for instance. If he hadn't listened to his teacher, we wouldn't have the great book that we have now, that everyone quotes from, the Sahih Bukhari, which is not its full name, but just for brevity's sake. Imam Bukhari actually wanted to be a faqih, and his teacher didn't, recognize that he had the aptitude for hadith. And in fact, in one session, in one majlis, he said, I wish that one of my students would write a collection compile a collection that were really authentic Sahih hadith. And that evening he had a dream that Imam Bukhari did, that he was swatting away flies from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when he woke up, he realized that this is what he needs to do, because that was a metaphor, that he needs to take away the fabricated hadith and the weak hadith. And so people have a straight route to the sunnah. And alhamdulillah, we have that now because of his book. But it also, that's what I mean by wasiya. So he listened to his teacher, he has that connection with his teacher, and we all get to benefit. Now this happens to all of us. Let's say you say, well, yeah, he had a great teacher. Well, first of all, we all do in this gathering have a great teacher, Hafizullah. Even if he's your teacher just by knowing him by name, just by the barakah of knowing of his existence, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Yaqubi, you have that. So, but in addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people throughout our life. In fact, that is where much of our learning comes from, but we fail sometimes to recognize it. For instance, people who are in even dire circumstances, maybe they have relationships with people around them that are very antagonizing, or there's a lot of friction. But if we submit to that, surrender to that situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a door out of it. So that becomes a wasila, where we arrive at where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. Because He knows our situation. He knows exactly where we are. Sometimes we get caught up in the means and blame the means. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind every need. Like this storm. As you know, I'm the first one to constantly talk about all these things that are going on and where all these storms are coming from. They're trying to counteract the global warming with geoengineering programs where they have control over the weather. Now, all of that is fact and true. I tell you that so that you know what's going on, because it's good to know what our enemies are up to. But it's not just to sit there, focus on that, and have despair or the abdullah. It's the opposite reason. They're not anyone doing that. It's to realize still, to know that, just so we're aware. So like the elderly, for instance, can be aware before winter time comes to be prepared, have things stocked up. Because for sure, like in this case, now they're not saying there's not going to be power until Wednesday. These days, it seems to be the rule. Wallahu alam, I can get into why, and that's part of their whole agenda. But once we know generally what their plots are, we don't need to go, you know, keep focusing on that. It's just for us to have that knowledge, to be prepared, so that we can continue to do what we have to do, which is to be focused on our beloved. So the point was never to just get stuck there in that rut. In fact, I have to tell you that I was able to. I was in contact with Sheikh Muhammad just before the storm, and probably predicting what I was going to say, he already said, don't worry, it's going to be a storm of mercy. I didn't even know he knew. I didn't even know at that point that there was a storm, actually. It was just yesterday, right before. And I said, SubhanAllah, it just started snowing here. Sheikh Muhammad said, don't worry, it's going to be a storm of mercy. And indeed, I mean, looking at it, it was beautiful. The entire scene was very serene. I don't know what's going on out there. Nobody's has been out on the roads. But he's reminding me that behind and beyond it all is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it's good to know what is going on. But behind it all is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also allows us not to get distracted from our journey. And in fact, so that's the point. It's not just the arrival that we're to focus on. But the whole point is to enjoy the journey, to love the journey. When I was talking about Steve Jobs, now in the dunyawi realm, this is one person who succeeded in that. And succeeded remarkably, I have to say. If you compare some of these other people that are out there that have intense success in the dunya, for instance, compare him to Gates, bar none. Steve Jobs is the successful one, if you really look at it. I mean, he had his priorities set. He put the family first, and he really didn't care about the money. If you read some of what's been written about him. Even before he died, this is already known about him, that he lived a down-to-earth kind of life. Basically, as we know, he could have anything, any kind of lifestyle that he wanted. But apparently he just lived on a cul-de-sac with his back door would be always open for most of the day. Not a huge mansion either. In fact, in his the biography that Isaacson wrote, he said that when Gates visited him, when he came in, he said, "Do all of you live here?" I mean, because Gates himself has like a 6,000 square foot home. So I think he was assuming at least something akin to that. But apparently, Steve Jobs didn't have that. Maybe not the middle class kind of house, but for sure he could have afforded that 66,000 square foot mansion as well if he wanted to, or many of them if he wanted to. But he didn't want that for his children. He said that this would be a surgery to him that way. So, for sure, he had that. But, so, for ourselves, then, on this journey, and he also had this aspect of enjoying the journey, which is a key point here. It's not just about the goal, but to love the journey. And you'll find this inevitably, with all of the ulama, with the awliya, that they love the journey. They don't just wait for those high points, that when they cross a certain threshold, oh, this is what I was waiting for in my life. You won't hear them talking about their life like that. Why? First of all, because we don't know if we have tomorrow. And in fact, Steve Jobs didn't live like that. That was the key, he said, to how he was able to have that success. He always lived as if he was going to die. Because he said he had this sense that he would die young. So he wanted to accomplish whatever he could. And if a couple of days he veered off from what he thought he would die on, he thought would correct himself. It was a self-correcting mechanism that he lived by. He didn't want to die in something that he wasn't working on, which is obviously something that all Muslims should live by in terms of the Akhirah. We shouldn't be, if we're distracted or off the path for a little bit, okay, we just get up, brush ourselves. You don't need to wallow in that and say, well, what did I do? No, instantly we just return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll find the ulama like this. Not even a moment. They wait on, oh, why did I do that? Did I miss this opportunity? No, because we still have an opportunity. We're still existing. We're still breathing. We have today. So we just move on. So this is the way. So I was saying that your circumstances, we can't really blame our circumstances. We, in fact, can rise above them if we surrender to them and see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us. And this is where people who live by this hikmah end up finding incredible miracles in their life. So, because the wasila can be through someone who's really difficult in your life. You don't know that. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means for that person, because they don't have a teacher. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fashioned the circumstance to be the teacher. And that if we surrender to it, then we have, inshallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still feel great heights to expect. And so this is the wisdom that we wanted to live by, one of the precepts that are women only live by every moment in their life. Shazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ahu ahu. Shazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahu ahu. Shazallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ahu ahu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Al-Fatiha.